Chapter 11, Trends. Last year, an Adventist visiting my office at the General Conference said, "The Great Controversy's message was relevant for Ellen White's time, but outdated for ours." Though I politely disagreed, I should have taken out the time the Holy Alliance issue, pushed it into his face, and replied, "Wake up now, or you will in the second resurrection." Outdated? Had he said that some of the material language and references were, I would agree. If Ellen White were writing The Great Controversy today, she'd be quoting from Pat Robertson and Archbishop Runcie, not from Charles Beecher. She'd use words other than Romanist, papist, and popery, which now sound archaic. She'd talk about astral projections, NDEs, and channeling, rather than about spiritualism in general. In that sense, yes, the book could be considered outdated. But to say that its basic thrust belongs to her time, not ours? Over the years, Adventists had made numerous false predictions about prophecy, and these mistakes have hardened some to our eschatology. Turkey, we were assured, would have a major role in last day events. World War I was the beginning of the end. World War II was Armageddon. The kings of the East in Revelation was Hirohito's army. The Jews would never have a homeland in Palestine again. President John F. Kennedy would bring the National Sunday Law. The problem? We were too specific when prophecy, either biblical or extra-biblical, isn't. The Great Controversy, for instance, covers the era from Christ's death to the new earth, all in less than 700 pages. The book of Revelation does it in 25. A trained historian couldn't do the Reformation justice in that space, much less the entire Christian epic and beyond. The book isn't a detailed history of Christianity. Rather, the Great Controversy surveys the principles behind the battle between Christ and Satan. It does not deal with specifics. Thus, specific world events in and of themselves shouldn't become the obsessive focus of prophecy. Rather, they should be analyzed only as part of a larger prophetic trends. Locking ourselves dogmatically onto specific political events, such as the JFK presidency, is dangerous. In that case, what was important wasn't so much Kennedy himself, or what he might do as president, but what it revealed about the growing Catholic influence in America. Beyond that, his presidency was prophetically meaningless. In previous chapters, I have tried to show how trends match what was written in The Great Controversy. The details become relevant only when they fit the big picture. Individual events in and of themselves should not be our dominant focus. Ellen White, for example, in the context of the churches uniting on common points of doctrine and order enforced Sunday worship, quoted in The Great Controversy an excerpt from an 1846 sermon by Protestant leader Charles Beecher, in which she said, "And what do we see just ahead? Another general council? A world's convention, evangelical alliance, and universal creed?" There was, however, no universal creed or evangelical alliance just ahead. Today, in the scheme of things, his words have become outdated, irrelevant, and significant. But the trend they dealt with, the uniting of the churches, was significant, even if it didn't happen at the time or in the way that Beecher expected. What's important, for example, about the keys of this blood is not the book itself, or even the details, but the trends it represents. Even John Paul II himself isn't crucial. He's over 70. The man's been shot, and last year he had a tumor removed from his colon. He could be dead in a year. What's crucial is not John Paul II as a person, or even his specific pontificate, but the direction that he has moved his church and its growing international prestige. Reagan and the Pope, working in a clandestine operation to support solidarity, weren't depicted in the pages of prophecy, but the trend their actions symbolized was. In the 1980s, Jerry Falwell's moral majority fit prophecy perfectly. Today, it's history. Moral majority, in and of itself, wasn't prophetic. The trend behind it was. In the 1990s, we have Pat Robertson and the Christian Coalition. 5 years from now, Christian Coalition could go the way of moral majority and Robertson the way of Jimmy Baker. It's the trend that counts. Look at them. The collapse of communism, the rise of the papacy as a powerful geopolitical entity, the United States as the world's only superpower, burgeoning spiritualism, the new right, the unity of Catholics and Protestants. Any one of these trends by itself would be significant enough. But all happening simultaneously give incredible credence not only to the Great Controversy, but to the whole Adventist message. Of course, prophecy can be misused, which is another reason why many Adventists have erred. Jesus described the purpose of prophecy when he said, "And now I have told you before it comes, that when it comes to pass you may believe." John 14:29. Prophecy isn't to make us clairvoyants who boldly predict the future. Rather, it's to strengthen our faith when the prophecies come to pass. And if the prophetic trends over the past few years haven't strengthened our faith, nothing will. Nevertheless, attacks within Adventism against the spirit of prophecy continue. Some harp on the plagiarism issue. Others claim to have rediscovered the gospel, which they misinterpret in a way that negates the great controversy's explanation of the great of the investigative judgment. They're singing and hoofing to the same tired old song and dance. They need a new score. A new score has been written by those who, while professing great admiration for the great controversy, point out all its errors and offer their own date-setting solutions and reinterpretations that in reality can only undermine faith in the entire message. No question, the devil hates great controversy, and he is using those from both the extreme left and the extreme right to weaken our faith in it. Why? Not simply because the book exposes his wiles, but because from the first chapter, where Ellen White describes Christ weeping for Israel, to the last, where Jesus lives with his redeemed and the world made new, every page is drenched in the blood of our Redeemer. From its account of the early church, the papal darkness, the Reformation, the Millerite movement, the final crisis, the millennium, and her description of, quote, all the years of eternity as they roll that will bring richer and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ, close quote, this book reveals the cross of Calvary and the salvation Jesus has wrought out for every human being who accepts it. Indeed, the most powerful aspect of the great controversy is not its prophetic message, but its spiritual one. Much more than a warning about coming persecution, Sunday laws, and the end of the world, the book is a modern revelation of Christ's love for us and his efforts to save us from ourselves. The mere existence of the book itself bears irrefutable witness to God's love. Much more the powerful revelation of Christ within its pages. "We cannot know," she wrote, "how much we owe Christ for the peace and protection we enjoy. It is the restraining power of God that prevents mankind from passing fully under the control of sin. Heavenly angels," she wrote, "have seen the glory with which the Son of God shared with the Father before the world was, and they look forward with intense interest to his appearing on earth as an event fraught with the greatest joy to all people. Christ had stooped to take upon himself man's nature. He was to bear an infinite weight of woe as he should make his soul an offering for sin. We may go," she wrote, "to Jesus and be cleansed, and stand before the law without shame or remorse." Again, she wrote, "While Jesus is pleading for the subjects of his grace, Satan accuses them before God as transgressors. Jesus does not excuse their sins, but shows their penitence and faith, and claiming for them forgiveness, he lifts up his wounded hands before the Father and holy angels, saying, 'I know them by name. I have graven them on the palms of my hands.' Our precious Savior invites us to join ourselves to him, to unite our weakness to his strength, our ignorance to his wisdom, our unworthiness to his merits. God's providence is a school in which we are to learn the meekness and lowliness of Jesus. One reminder of sin alone remains. Our Redeemer will ever bear the marks of his crucifixion. Upon his wounded head, upon his side, his hands and feet are the only traces of the cruel work that sin has wrought. The cross of Christ will be the science and song of the redeemed throughout all eternity. In Christ glorified, they will behold Christ crucified. Never will it be forgotten that he whose power created and upheld the unnumbered worlds through the vast realms of space, the beloved of God, the majesty of heaven, he whom cherub and shining seraph delighted to adore, humbled himself to uplift fallen man, that he bore the guilt and shame of sin and the hiding of his Father's face, till the walls of a lost world broke his heart and crushed out his life on Calvary's cross, that the maker of all worlds, the arbiter of all destinies, should lay aside his glory and humiliate himself from love to man will ever excite the wonder and adoration of the universe. As the nations of the saved look upon their Redeemer and behold the eternal glory of the Father shining in his countenance, as they beheld his throne, which is from everlasting to everlasting, and know that his kingdom is to have no end, they shall break forth into rapturous song. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us to God by his own most precious blood. Also, by bearing witness to the saints who through ages loved Christ so much they faced the dungeon, the rack, and the stake for their Savior, the great controversy reveals the poverty of our own relationship to Jesus. These heroes of faith could do what they did only out of love for Christ. We need the same. Great controversy, by pointing us to Jesus, can, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, kindle in us a love for Jesus that persists in the face of fervent, unrelenting opposition. Those who prayerfully read the great controversy will be led to the book behind it, the Bible, and those grounded in the Bible will not be deceived by the deceptions duping the world. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the truth, she wrote, about Satan's final deception, that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures. And, finally, the great controversy screams of the nearness of Christ coming. Sure, we've heard all this before. Jesus' coming has been near for the past 100 years. Yet never in the past 100 years have world events dovetailed as they do now. Never have the pieces fallen so precisely into place. There were always major portions that didn't fit. The Soviet Union, American anti-Catholicism, spreading communism, strong First Amendment protections, whatever. None of these are obstacles any longer. We don't know dates or times. We're not supposed to. In condemnation of those who date everything from the latter rain to the close of probation on the Sunday law, Ellen White warns, let all our brethren and sisters beware of anyone who would set a time for the Lord to fulfill his word in regard to his coming or in regard to any other promise he has made of special significance. We might not know dates, but we should be able to read the sign of the times. And those who take historic Adventism seriously have to be excited about what they pretend. Jesus is coming to take us home, and we have more evidence of that promise now than ever. We must believe, trust, and obey as if our eternal destiny depended on it. Because it does, we've come too far to turn back now. As Adventists, we have been given all the reasons in the world, and even beyond, to trust the spirit of prophecy. The attacks against the great controversy, the indifference towards it, the growing skepticism about it, also are all trends that we have been warned about beforehand, and these also should increase our faith. Ellen White, interpreting the Bible through the lens of her prophetic gift, has more than validated that gift, and nowhere is that validation more clear and irrefutable than in the great controversy. Nevertheless, be prepared. The great controversy embarrassment is coming. We will look like fools, idiots, and buffoons before the world, especially because of this book, which will incite those who reject the truths in it just as it excites Adventists who reject those truths even now. Indeed, how Adventists react to the great controversy today will probably reveal how they will react then, only worse. Either we will surrender unconditionally to the Holy Spirit, and the great controversy will draw us closer into the embrace of Christ, who inspired its words and who has sealed each page with his blood. Or, rejecting the Spirit, we will be lured into the clutches of the one who spilled Christ's blood and seeks ours as well. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.